Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 542. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Failed to connect the server. Please try again later.
All right, well, sorry, Tony is not here with us trying to connect. Earl's here, though.
Did you know that there is 69,420 days until April 20th, 2069. Somebody was super bored on the internet tonight and figured that out. So that is your fun fact of the day. It does not matter because we are recording this on the 8th and this will be out on the 10th, which means it will be 69,418 days until then. But fun fact of the evening.
I was going to say nice, but I can't now. You kind of ruined it.
I'm happy.
Somebody was really bored. I mean, I guess it's not that difficult. You just add a couple days and then what, 48 years?
It's probably more like somebody was like sitting around, I want to figure out all the ways 69 can be involved with this. Let's do that.
Well, I assume what they did is they were like, okay, I got it. It has to be 420, 69, and then like, what is... Like, I assume there's also somebody who probably did like 42,069. But yeah.
But well, that is our fact for the day. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back next week.
This show sucks. I'm canceling my subscription.
There's some games. Tony alluded to one. I guess we should jump right into Outriders.
I had a great experience with this, guys.
Did you?
I did. I downloaded it. I watched a super choppy cutscene, and then it died every time.
Okay. Before we get into the game, literally before we get into the game, can we talk about the fact that it has like a 60-minute entrance that you have to watch every time you start the game?
Every time. I'm like, why can't I skip this? What is happening here? And why isn't it smooth as silk? Why is there like if you have to watch it every time, fine. But you know, it looks crappy. It looks shitty. Like the frame rate is like dropping during this intro cutscene. What on earth is happening?
are we talking about like where the bird flies across the screen?
Yeah.
I think I've only actually watched it once.
Oh, we'll get into why I've seen it multiple times in a second, but yeah, it is just super, like, you couple that on the fact that the game, I mean, granted, we've had this with other games, so you kind of get used to it. The game also takes its time getting started when you actually try to load it.
Yes, it does.
A very minor pet peeve of mine, but I wish when people did like loading screen percentages that they were a bit more honest with it, because like this is one of those games that doesn't do it in increments. So it's like, you know, 20, 40, 60, 80. Then 80 will hang around for like 2 minutes. And then it's 100, but 100 doesn't mean that you're loaded in. 100 means that you got to 100% of the loading, and now you're going to enter the game after we process it for you. So it takes its sweet time getting started.
It is funny though; it does hit 80, and then it like kind of hovers. I haven't had like a 2 minute loading screen, but I have noticed like it hits 80, and then it kind of hangs there for a little bit.
And I'm sure it's not 2 minutes. But yes, it is a while. But
it feels like 2 minutes.
And again,
well, I don't know. I've never even got that far. So
I mean that might be why it feels like 2 minutes, is because like, every time you tried to join on, if you tried to play Friday or Saturday, I'm not sure when else you tried to play, Tony. So I haven't had problems since Saturday night. But
so Friday, I normally get on to play games like 10:30 every night, because that's when, you know, family's all gone to bed. I have my time to myself, sit down in front of the TV, and nothing. Yeah, thanks, Square Enix.
That we'll just do that, like signing in, authenticating. Sorry, you have not connected to the server. Please try again later. Did you get a lot of that on over the weekend, Earl?
I actually played yesterday, and it was like the experience is actually fine. I logged in, I was able to connect with friends and stuff like that. The problem for me came when I played the game, because the game's just a little bit buggy. So I had almost everything. Okay, so one, like I said, part of the I've seen in the screen is like I've had the game just hard knock me back to the menu.
Oh wow.
Not like, oh, you know, you're kicked out of this party, you lost connection. It's like, nope, this game is done. Here's your Xbox menu. Hope you're seeing it. And then I
have to start
it again. So that's super fun. In addition to that, I've had almost, I assume, every glitch possible in this game. So there's one glitch that I was able to repeat several times, and I figured out ways to fix it later on. Is I mentioned, oh, we'll get into it in a bit, but I'm a pyromancer, and one of the early pyromancer skills is, I forget what it's called exactly, but it's essentially like a force yeesh where you can pull health from people, but you also yank them forward.
Yeah, it's like the super, right? You press RB together and pull it. Or yeah. Can you map it to something else? Or
you can map it to different stuff, but that's okay. Like when you're unlocking it, that's the main super early on. And so, but it's a step process. So you have to press the buttons, and then like you have to like you know, you, if there's more than one enemy, you target them, and you press right trigger to do that. Somehow, sometimes the game doesn't understand its step process. So I get stuck in a mixture of like I'm doing like I'm set up for that move, but it won't allow me to actually activate like to pull. So I can't. So you're just stuck. You can't use any other ability. You can't fire your gun. You can't melee or anything like that. So the first time I just waited till my friends killed an area, and like once you kind of like do a cutscene, defaulted. Later on, because this kept on happening there on a boss encounter, it's like if you go too far away from certain staging areas, it's like, oh, don't need the enemies back to your allies or to your base, and it would it gives you a countdown. I would just run into that, give me a counter, and it would spawn me back to my friends, and everything would be cleared up. So, again, not the best experience in the world. Then, and this is my favorite one, because this is a cover-based shooter. I mean, to a degree. You don't necessarily need to take cover. It's helpful. So we were in like one of the earlier areas, and I went to take cover, and my character just went straight through the wall and got stuck there. So, like, literally stuck. So I could fire my gun, I could use my powers, but I was in the wall. So like the boys were just, and I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. My friends
protected from the bullets.
I didn't take damage, but.
So this game made you immortal, and you're complaining.
No, it didn't, because I couldn't do anything.
He actually became a rock.
Yes, essentially. And my friends are like, "Oh yeah, we could see you there." So what we had to do is, after they get out the area, they then fast traveled back to like one of the flag bases, and that got me out of the geometry. And then it's just like, okay, maybe you don't use cover. I'm like, okay, so I don't use cover. I don't use my special abilities. What the hell am I supposed to be doing in this game right now? And yeah, it was one of those frustrating experiences because, and I think, I don't know, I mean, Tony can say, but fundamentally, I think it's a fun game. It's just really, really buggy right now.
As somebody who has not experienced all these bugs and mostly outside of Friday and Saturday did not have connection issues with it. Yeah, I think it's very fun.
So fun. Like, great.
I'm pretty far into it now. I'm level 18 and like well into the like 7 or 8 biomes in. So moving along, I'm about to go back to the forest. Like, it's a lot of fun. Like and then once you kind of unlock the skill tree, like you can start getting stuff so you can have multiple uses of your powers. Or you'd speed up how fast your powers work or how powerful they are, so you could take down bigger enemies with them. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's funny, like, because you come into an area and you know, oh, there's going to be a battle here. And the cover is kind of there, but it's more for the enemies than for you. Because, like, really, the game encourages you to be aggressive with your powers. So you're not really hiding behind, at least not, I'm not, as a pyromancer, like I'm kind of out there.
I've heard that from other people that like, if you're taking cover, you're playing it wrong.
Yeah. Like the only time I take cover really is they have some pitch perfect snipers. Like those snipers.
Yeah, they are dangerous.
Like they will hit you from across the map blindfolded. And it's not that they will hit you once. They will hit you multiple times in a row before you even realize they are there. So, like, once they, like, that I would take cover from. But, yeah, a lot of the times, especially with common enemies, like, your powers just eat through them so quickly. And especially, like, I was able to, you start off with the character that you had in the demo. So, like, I was, like, level 6 or 7, and I got up to level 8, I think. And then my new power, I think every cast has this, is that you can, like, I can now put fire into my bullets. And like that, like, so that means when you shoot like an assault rifle, which has like 40 rounds, every bullet has fire damage to it, which does burning. So you could set those people on fire, even though because they're just going to burn to death. Focus on other people. And while this is all going on, they're still giving you back health. So you get everything that you want out of that.
Yeah, like it wants you to use your powers, because that's kind of how you regenerate your health. It's a cool loop, the way they have it. You know, as long as you're not stuck into rocks or can't use your powers or can't connect, I guess.
Woo! Game of the year.
And I do, and you know, that's the thing, much like Destiny, where a lot of your the unlocks and stuff are visual. So like sometimes it's like, oh, I want to change this where you could. This really cool hood for something that's stronger, but it's visually nice. But then I didn't realize, and I should have. It's like each, like, after, like the default ones, like the gray ones, don't really give you much, but like green and blue and above, like you start to see, like, oh, okay, this one gives you 10% health, but it also helps, like, it gives you like 0.2% cooldown faster or something like that. So it's also, like, there are times where I get stuff that is stronger. But like the perks it gives me, I don't want. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna stick with the weaker thing, because ultimately the perks that it does have is something. It's an ability that I'm using, or it gives me more health, or it gives me you know, stronger anomaly powers or something like that. So
yeah, I will say the cosmetics for the armor are pretty hideous. They're not the most aesthetically pleasing looking outfits.
Well, the one thing I was, and I don't know if it's possible, is the color scheme is very, very, very muted. And I'm hoping that there's a way to change it, or does everybody kind of just dress in like really dab earth tones?
I'm currently I'm wearing like this Mass Effect type armor up top, and then almost like Ultimate Warrior wrestling pants or something on the bottom with like fringe and shit. But before that, I was wearing this like bright yellow spacesuit that looked really stupid, but had good stats. So I don't think it ever really like moves out of like the muted colors, but there are some more outlandish ones.
Yeah.
Like that's another thing about it, though, is like, so like when you start the game, when you play the intro, you're kind of like landing on this new planet. It's all lush, it's green, and then shit goes to hell, and it's still kind of interesting because like you're getting attacked by this like blue lightning, and then you end up having to, like, you know, you get hurt and you go into cryo sleep and you wake up like, I don't know what, 40 years later or something like that. And shit's gone real bad, except now everything is like drab looking. It's trench warfare. And, that doesn't change for a lot of the game. Like, there's like a lot of the environments are kind of like these human areas. Like, you don't, at least not yet. Like, I'm about to kind of leave the human sector, like where we've settled, and move on, and hopefully then it kind of brightens up, because it's been a little depressing looking. It doesn't look bad, it just bleh. And the story is fucking so stupid. It's really, really bad.
I was like it was, you know, you're playing with your friends, and I do like the system. Like, you all have to kind of unanimously agree if you want to skip cutscenes or whatever. And they're like, "Do you want to skip?" I'm like, "I'm not going to pay attention to this story. It's probably really dumb." Like, I'm sure there are people out there who have Destiny Zero. I'm like, "This is dumb. Point me in the direction of the thing you need me to kill or collect, and that's all I need. I don't need you to give me some sad backstory." Like, I like I will say, I think I mentioned it during the demo, I do like to set some that like you can speak to NPCs and you can have all of these, like they have a bunch of different dialogues you can get kind of fresh out the world.
Yeah.
Or you could just pick the option that's like, here's the quest, go do it. I'm like, that's the one. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's probably the right. You don't want to learn about this because everybody's an asshole, including maybe you too. Like you as the character, maybe kind of an asshole. I don't know. Like you wake up and like you're being attacked by what they're calling insurgents, and you team up with like older versions of your old team. And you're still like this, you know, young person, but like they're kind of fascisty, and
fascistite,
yeah, like, and then like
the fascist too,
right? And like you're siding with them, and there's sometimes like situations where they just do things, and they're like, oh well, that happened, I guess.
He died, damn.
Or like. Yeah, you just watched a, you know, a lieutenant or somebody kill somebody in cold blood, like just because, like
he deserved it.
Guess that happened. He's the bad guy, even though you said you wouldn't do it. But like, I mean, you have superpowers. You are like this fucking mutant thing that can do anything, which is another line of the story. Is like these altered. You know, the people that are actually altered, you know, that have been around for a while, they're like, why are you even, you know, playing with these humans? Like you're basically a god. Like, what are you doing hanging around with them? And that's a good question because all the people you hang around with complete assholes. So
maybe that's why you're hanging around with
them. Like,
and then another minor complaint. I mean, might be a fixator on is like you start off in like a little, like again, like Destiny, you start off in like a little town hub. There's a bunch of people to talk to and stuff like that. And then you open it up and you get to go out into the field.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, a lot of those vendors and stuff don't go there. So even though like you might have missions there, like if you want to sell stuff, you have to go back into that. Like it's weird that like people don't like transport, so you don't have to go to multiple hubs if you need to sell stuff, if you need to take on new missions, if you get a vehicle that you can't drive but you can dress up cosmetically,
which is really weird.
Yeah,
You can decorate this truck that you're never gonna drive. Who cares?
But damn, it looks great in the cutscene. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like Destiny's ship. You don't drive it. It's oh, but I mean, at least then it's kind of like okay, it's a space thing. It kind of gives me this nifty thing. Where this is like, I mean, it might be for cutscenes, but I was like, I don't know what it's for.
Just there in the background sometimes. Like you're gonna that truck will be with you through most of the game. So,
so you just like you probably want to dress it up. I'm like, no, I want to use it.
Yeah, like I want to drive the Mako. I know it drives like shit, but I want to drive it. you will. So there's only so many like subquests in each area, and most areas will have like some sort of new vendor. So after you get through a couple of them, like you'll find another town, and you'll meet up with other vendors as you go along.
Okay.
So like what like there's. Not much reason to return to like that first area after you do all the subquests, except for there's one subquest called the Historian. She has like a little museum. And the different areas you go to will have stuff that you can pick up for her. That's like the only reason to really return there.
Oh, okay. Because I think because that was the final mission we ended on. So we had like we did a Historian mission because it's kind of, you know, it's like. It's not instances, but it's like a really shortest mission. It was getting an A, so we're like, we'll just run one of these. And then I don't know if my friend didn't understand it or what, but we had to go back to the second town. And then once we went back to the second town, we then had to teleport to the first area because I guess you couldn't teleport directly there. But again, I don't know if that's a misunderstanding or if we can't teleport directly to that first area from the field anymore.
You have to talk to Jakob. And like that'll bring up there's like a world map
Okay.
So you have to go back to your base in each of the areas. Like, each of the areas has a base. So you have to go back, talk to him, and then it'll open up the world map. Unless there's, like, another way I haven't figured out yet.
Okay, so that is... So my friend was correct. That is dumb.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Like, you should just be able to go to the flag and be like, I want to go here.
Yeah.
And pop in
there. That's what fast travel is for in video games. It's not a new concept.
It's like, fast travel to this area of the location, and then fast travel back to the original location. Like,
yeah.
No, just let me fast travel once, go from point to point.
Not rocket science.
Or maybe it is.
Earl, you also played some Kirby Super Clash. Is that, yeah, that the kind of Smash Kirby game?
No, this is the one before that. This is kind of like the Kirby Boss Rush.
Mm.
And I only bring it up because, again, with my week of disappointing online experiences, this game was awful online. Like, I don't know if you folks shared, I favorite friends, and one of my friends shared it on Twitter. Like, we were it would be a picture as it's moving. Like, it knows, like, we'd have sound and everything, and it's like, it's just still. I think I made the joke that it's like a Zack Snyder movie. And it was just we're taking damage and stuff. We can't move. And then, like, it was, you know, like, it would speed up. Like, really, there was a time where we were there for, like, maybe 20 seconds, and then not a second had passed on the game's clock. It was just that laggy. So, and it's sad, because fundamentally, I actually do enjoy the game. It's a very simple free-to-play game. You go through, you fight a bunch of Kirby bosses with the, you know, like, they've done, I mean, kind of like the Kirby Fighter, that it's focused on different classes. So you have a sword, hammer, mage, and, I forget what the other one is, a wand, I think. And they have, like, different specials and stuff like that you can charge up, you know, like, doing left and right, doing up and down, have different attacks for the Kirby. And it's four different Kirbys teaming up together to fight these enemies. If you're playing single player, it's with three CPUs and stuff like that. So it's a fun game. It was just such a bad, terrible, frustrating online experience. And again, you know, like, it's one of those things that come up, and we'll talk about this later on, I think, with Pac-Man, where it's like the Nintendo Switch Online service has so few to offer in general. Like, when you have one of these titles and it's just not up to snuff, it just makes it really ridiculous that you're paying for it.
Yeah. Speaking of Pac-Man, did you get to play any Pac-Man 99?
I did not. Not yet.
Okay, so, I did not either. I assume you did not,
what?
Tony.
I am shocked that you have not played any, Chris.
I was about to say the same thing.
I just haven't turned on my Switch yet today. I think it launched
last
today,
night.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, you didn't wake up at midnight to play that.
No, no.
We worship at the Church of Pac-Man.
This is true. I just haven't sat down. Haven't turned my TV on today yet, so... right after us.
I was going to say, and so it's 10 something already.
He's like, good night, everybody.
Yeah, no, after we record, I will probably download it and at least get a try-in, because if I don't, by Sunday, everyone will know all the tricks to how to play, and I'll never get a chance to win. So, yeah, so that released kind of out of nowhere. Pac-Man Battle Royale. In the vein of, like,
Tetris 99. I was gonna say, it's fair, because there's a studio Pac-Man Battle Royale game, right?
There is. There's one on Stadia, and there's another one too somewhere out there. So there's a couple Pac-Man Battle Royale games, but this is more in the vein of, like, Tetris 99, right?
Where you,
like,
you MR, play on your yeah.
own screen. Yeah. So you're just. I haven't played. I just understand there's, like, different power ups, different types of Pac-Man you can use, and they do different things in how to play. But we'll have more on that next week when we get to that. Yeah, Tony, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, because also just partially news as well. I do like the fact that, because it's the same thing they did with Tetris 99 and to a lesser extent Mario 35, where it's just like, literally, this game was announced Tuesday night. It released Wednesday evening, and that's it. Like, no, like, yeah, it's not a big drum roll. It's not like we need months and months of hype. This is one of those games where it's like, yeah, it's out tomorrow. Have fun.
Yep, here it is. Go at it. And some retro gamers that I follow on Twitter. They seem to really be enjoying it. So
yeah, I saw a few of them were all into it.
What was that?
Oh no, I was gonna say again. I think it's the same thing I said with Tetris 99 and Mario 35. I think it's great that you're finding a new angle for a classic game. A lot of people have experience with these. A lot of these games are very cliché, and in some ways, it also helps you to, it helps you approach it differently than you would if you played a usual Pac-Man game, because like you have like the ghost chains and stuff like that, which adds a difference to it that you don't necessarily get in traditional Pac-Man games. I don't know if it has multiple stages, and I think one of the cooler things about it as well is you get, if I'm not mistaken, you can buy DLC, which is like skins of other Namco properties and arcade games, and then they just get mapped on top of the Pac-Man experience.
Yeah, I saw an image of like Galaga, so like the ship from Galaga flying through the Pac-Man maze. It's like that. It looks absurd, but also that's kind of cool. And Dig Dug, I saw him kind of like running through the maze.
Yeah,
like that. That's neat. Like, cool way of designing the DLC for that. And hopefully they'll also have they have those things, those tournaments or special events for Tetris 99 where
yeah,
you can get like free skins and stuff. So that would be neat. But I'm sure we'll have some of that next week, because I will certainly play it over the weekend, and I'm sure Jeff's going to try it. So
I guess I could try it too. Damn it.
Did you try anything this week besides Outriders, Tony?
I got online to try to play Outriders with Walt the other night, and it wasn't working. So we played Apex Legends for the first mm-hmm. time in ages, because we took this season off. Like, we didn't, like, it. Last season wasn't great. We were kind of done with it. But they released a new build of the game that's actually next gen.
Nice.
So instead of like a better looking, like when I was playing before on my Series X, it was just a better looking version of the previous, what I was playing on my Xbox One X.
Right. Just better textures.
Yeah, it just looked better because the system was better. This is a build that's actually made for this system. And my God, it looks beautiful. And not only that, like, everything seems to be smoother. The frame rates are locked. Like, you're not missing people because they're hopping around. The servers seem to be behaving better.
Okay.
We're always having issues with, like, one of the things when you drop in at the beginning of the game, everybody has, like, the trails following them.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, where the other teams are flying in. Except it didn't work on console. So sometimes you would see the trails, sometimes you wouldn't. You'd land in an area, there'd have been no trails, and then you'll find that there's teams all around you that you had no idea were right next to you. That's done now. Like, you can actually see stuff. So it's kind of cool to have, like, those visuals working the way that they're intended to work. I don't know, the shading, the shadows, like, the game just looks better. I don't really have any good impressions of the season itself. Because I haven't quite played enough of it, but I do think I will be going back to Apex Legends pretty soon.
I'm interested in, what is it, Season 8 coming up, where they're saying they're going to integrate more stuff from Titanfall into it. So
yeah, no, I'm all for that. The one thing I did see about this season that kind of turns me off is the map that I really like, World's Edge, is not in this season at all.
Okay, that's so, what I was going to ask. Like, what are Apex seasons different? Like, how are they different?
So they change, like, there'll be certain weapons are vaulted, meaning they don't appear, or they only appear in loot drops. And they'll change what those weapons are. Every season they'll add a new character. There'll be different events during the season. Maybe a new weapon or something. Like, every season has something about it that's, like, unique and special. They'll change the map. So at the beginning of the season, you'll see, like, they added a floating ship that everybody can go to, or, you know, maybe a train crash. It's kind of like the like what happens between the seasons in Fortnite.
Well, yeah, that's why I was curious, because, like, Fortnite, I mean, yes, like, the map changes itself,
yeah.
But Fortnite, because it has all those tie-ins, you also get a crap ton of, like, new character skins, and Apex has very defined characters.
Yeah. And they'll add new story tie-ins and comic stuff, and, like, try to develop the world a little bit more every season.
Mm.
And the Battle Pass is, like, a lot of, like, character skins, weapon skins, stuff like that, but just skins for the existing characters. So, well, I'm interested to see what they do next season. So, I'm hoping it's leading up to an announcement at E3 about Titanfall 3.
Yeah, I guess that was news. We did not have news coverage. Is that E3 is going to happen this year?
Yeah, it kind of. I mean, I guess not even kind of, like, it is happening. It's just we're not really sure exactly how. We know that the paywall is not a thing, so we'll be able to see everything.
So it's still free 3. Wait.
Well, sure. My biggest joy is that it seems to be a defined period of time. It's like 3 days. It is not 3 months. It is not everybody doing their own thing. It's like 3 or 4 days, I assume, with virtual conferences and stuff like that. And I'm thrilled for that. I did not want to ask summer. I mean, we're still having Summer Game Fest, but I think E3, because especially with like Microsoft and Nintendo signing up, will be the big thing this summer.
Yeah, instead of like, oh, we're going to have an event every month. Like, everyone did one, like Ubisoft and Microsoft and Sony. And every month there was 4 events. And it was tiring. Especially when there wasn't a lot of news that came
out. Yes. Or the other fun thing is like when the same handful of games would just show up everywhere, because why not?
Yep. Like, oh, we showed this at the Microsoft thing, we showed this at the Sony thing, and now we're showing it on our own thing. Yay. Yeah, so E3 back again. Just before we jump into the other 3 or 4 news related items we have, I did play a couple other games. The big one being Fantasian, which is the Apple Arcade Mistwalker game by Sakaguchi, who is like pretty much considered the father of Final Fantasy. He was either director or producer on like the first 10 of them, I think. And he went on, did Lost Odyssey, Blue Dragon for the 360, Last Story for the Wii. I guess he's been doing like some mobile stuff recently. Fantasian is a return to traditional role playing, and it is like the lost PlayStation era game. It is that style of gameplay. The backgrounds kind of look like that, except they are all handcrafted dioramas, which is really neat. Like all the interiors have been like shot on high definition like photographs, and then they're the backgrounds that they're using for that you're interacting with or whatever. So it's really, really neat looking. In the way it's presented, even like the treasure chests, like where they're placed, like they're actual working treasure chests. And the way that I guess they photographed them is, oh, well, we've done a photograph with it closed, and then we do one with it open. And then you have your like traditional anime character superimposed on top of that, working around the environment. Story is. It's a guy has amnesia.
Oh, never heard that one before.
I was gonna say, is that not even, that's also the basis of the Lost Story? I mean, not the Lost Odyssey.
Lost Odyssey, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
it's a trope that
maybe he hopes that everyone who's playing through it also has amnesia.
To be fair,
know he, that I used this story before. I hope
he did say that this was. I mean, this might also be his last game that he's working on. But he said it was kind of purposely. Everything that he's doing is kind of a throwback to his career. So it's like a lot of nostalgia in it. Turn-based combat, but they do a couple of things with it. So you have magic, and you can kind of like bend the magic. So you can, let's say you're casting a fire spell. You have like this line that you can target enemies on. And depending on where they are on the battlefield, you can then bend that line so that it'll hit multiple enemies, which is kind of neat. But the big thing is kind of like these games all have grinding involved in them. It's just kind of the nature of a JRPG. You're going to grind at some point. And they've mitigated that by having this thing called this is the dumbest name to it, the Dimension. It's a mix of Dimension and Dungeon.
Oh, God.
So you keep this little device on you, and if you have it activated, it will toss the random battles into this container. Basically, it takes the enemies that you would fight, throws them into another dimension, a dimensional dungeon, I guess, and you can come back to them later. But it's a risk reward thing because you have to fight them all at once. So you can fill up to 30 in there, 30 enemies, but then you are fighting them all at once, no breaks. But it does speed up like grinding, because instead of like, oh, you're walking around and you're just trying to find random enemies, like you can fill up, you know, get 30 enemies in there and just go at it. And then all of a sudden, like you've leveled up because you didn't have to do 10 different battle animations, you know, where it animates into the battle, and then you have to fight the battle, and then it animates out of the battle, and then you have to wander around, find more random enemies. Like everything's all done at once. So I think it's like pretty neat. Like it's a good way of handling that. Like if you just kind of want to power to the next story bit, you can. And then like, all right, I'm not leveled yet, so I'm just going to take all the enemies I have in my little thing and fight them all. So I think that's pretty cool. It's weird. So I started playing it and I thought immediately, oh no, there's going to be all these like little microtransactions because the chests they require keys. But there are no microtransactions. You find the keys by fighting other enemies. It's just that there are like 7 different types of chests. So you have to find these special enemies that carry these keys to open them. So that's a little weird, but at least it's not like, oh, buy a key for, you know, a buck or whatever. This is pretty traditional Final Fantasy type game. I don't know. We'll see. It came out last. I'm 8 hours into it now. And I heard that this one, which is part one, is about 20-25 hours. So I guess I'm nearing about the halfway point.
Which is also one of the things I loved about the last story. That game is like 25-30 hours. You get in, you get out, no fuss, no muss. I've said it before, I think more RPGs, like, on paper it sounds great. 100-hour games does not appeal to me anymore.
Right, like there was a time when it was like, oh my god, yes, I want to, like, I remember getting Final Fantasy VIII specifically. And like the back of the box said, there's like over 85 hours of gameplay or something like that. And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then I don't want to play that anymore. Like, just don't have 85 hours to devote to one thing. There's so many other games that we want to play. So if I can play 4 different games over 85 hours, that would be great. There's no need for it because who needs to grind that much? Because what, 50 hours of that is just grinding anyway. The only other thing I played this week was Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. I don't know if you guys know anything about that. Super Nintendo game from like 91, 92. It's basically baby's first RPG. And it's really bad. It's a Final Fantasy game in name only. There's crystals, I guess. But it's... I'm going to finish it because it's really short, but and then I can be like, I finished Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. But
sometimes all you need on your resume.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the things I like. I wanted to play all the Super Nintendo Final Fantasy games this year, so I kind of threw this one in there. It's not fun. Like it's bad. And I guess that's it for what we've been playing. There's some news. Deathloop was delayed.
Shocker.
I kind of like how they delayed this one though, Tony. Like, it's like, you know, look.
It's not finished yet. It made sense.
Yeah.
It's a classic, like, we want our game to be good, we're going to delay it. Not delaying it because we promised things and couldn't do it.
Right. And also, like, we don't want, like, I mean, hey, maybe it's bullshit because, you know, CD Projekt Red also made an announcement similar to this last year where they were like, we're delaying it because we don't want to push crunch. But, you know, it seems like they are looking at this and what's the quote here? We're committed to quality, preserving our team's ambitions for Deathloop while ensuring the health and safety of everyone at Arkane. I will be using extra time to accomplish our goal, create a fun, stylish, and mind-bending player experience. So it looks like they're trying to just not overwork their employees. So,
yeah.
Committed.
My favorite response to this is that this is Microsoft pulling the strings to make Sony's summer suffer so that people will be tempted to get an Xbox over a PlayStation 5.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know. It seems excessive. Microsoft has been poking little pins at Sony all week, so maybe. See, the other big news story was that MLB The Show.
I love this story.
Which is a Sony San Diego developed game. Has been historically PlayStation exclusive. This is the first year it will be multi-platinum. Multi-platform, not multi-platform platinum. I'm sure it's multi-platinum previously. But it's first time it is appearing on Xbox, and I think it's coming to Switch as well. But the big news is that day one, it will be on Xbox Game Pass.
Well, okay, so there's a reason, though, that it's multi-platform this time.
Yes.
And it's because it's not being published by Sony. The game is actually being published by MLB.
MLB is publishing it on Switch and Xbox.
Yeah.
Sony's still publishing it on PlayStation. But this was actually part of their deal when they re-signed in 2019 that it couldn't stay exclusive to... Like, if you want the license, it has to go multi-platform. So, but it is really funny, right? Because, like, I mean, at first we were like, oh my God, yes, like, Sony had to be in on this because why wouldn't they? But then as more and more bits of it came out, we discovered MLB is publishing it. They're probably the ones that did this deal.
Yep.
Maybe behind Sony's back. Like,
possibly.
And if you don't actually kind of look at it like MLB is the one pulling the strings here, it does look silly on Sony's part. Like your competitor is getting the game not for free. Like you have to pay a sub to get a Game Pass, but you know, no,
it's the stuff that, you know, everyone who owns an Xbox should have. So
yeah, kind of. It's crazy.
You might as well consider, like, if you own an Xbox, you're playing this game for free. But this is the kind of game, like, that I would buy a PS5 for. Like, I definitely bought a PS3 to play MLB The Show.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that was the only way, like, it was the best baseball game, has been for years.
Is it not the OU one?
What is the only one now? They're, like, the PlayStation 3 era, 2K was still releasing MLB games. They stopped in 2012. It's been a while. But all last gen, it has just been Sony up until RBI a couple years ago. And my God, that is a bad game. this is just, it's kind of funny. Like, really, really funny. And it has some Sony fans very angry. So.
Yeah, well, I feel like, well, we don't usually talk about rumors, but this is somewhat related, is that the other big, I think, story this week is Abandoned, which is a PlayStation 5 exclusive horror game announced. And I did not follow this exact, but for some reason, a lot of people assume that this was something that Kojima was working on. It's so much so that the company had to come out and be like, as much as we respect Kojima, he has nothing to do with our video game.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I guess people just assume horror, Sony exclusive. I assume they probably think it's what PT. Is that what it's called?
Yep. Silent Hills playable trailer.
Yes. And but the rumor now seems to be like he's not involved with this game, and he may actually be partnering up with Microsoft on an Xbox exclusive. So if that does come to pass, I am really curious to see the salt in that one. We've not had salt of this level in quite some time.
Yeah,
and it's like McDonald's French fry level salt. My God, we've got full salt, guys. Full salt.
It is funny to see these kind of console warriors really just go at it, because like oh my God, yes, we got Kojima, and they got Death Stranding for the PlayStation 4, and they're gonna turn on him so hard. He signs a deal to make an Xbox exclusive game or a Microsoft exclusive game. It's gonna be a sour day. But did you guys get a look at Abandoned? It's a horror game, first person, I guess.
I do not care. I don't care.
I'm not gonna say I don't care, but I did not look at it. I just been. Following's been going on around it.
I haven't. I think I just I glanced at a trailer, and it's like, oh, okay. I will take more look at it when it comes out. But we'll see what happens with Kojima. Like, of course, like the rumors out there with him possibly signing with Xbox have people speculating. Oh, they're gonna buy. You know, they're going to buy up the Konami IP, which I can't see Konami doing, especially Konami is coming to E3.
Yeah, I don't. I guess with some Bomberman stuff or whatever. And we did not like it, but they also take the Contra game recently. It's not like Konami doesn't make games. It's just like really not a big part of their identity anymore.
Right. I'd be okay with more of those classic collections, right? Like, they could do a Castlevania collection, too. They should probably do a Silent Hill collection at some point, but that series seems maybe dead. But yeah, so that seems to be the craziness going on. On the Kojima side, the fanboys are going to be going at it all year.
And then, yeah, they are.
it is funny because I had a friend this morning, actually, or last night, I should say, was like, you know, like, why do people? And I'm like, I get the fanboy mentality. I had my Dandis on. It shocked people. I'm a huge Nintendo fan.
Wait, what?
No. I know. I hide it so well. And yeah, I had those like back in the GameCube. I was never as toxic. My philosophy has evolved a bit, but it was always just like, oh, you know, like the GameCube is an awful, like it has its merits. And I still think the GameCube has its merits. But like it's so weird because like for instance, Resetra, like one of the big in-game informants, was down at some point this week, and I just kind of caught some of the Twitter discourse over it. And you'd have the Sony fanboys being like, "Oh, it's good, it's down. They're so pro Microsoft. You say anything good about Sony, you get banned." Then you had the pro Microsoft, the pro Sony people being that's pro Microsoft people being like, "Oh, it's a good thing because, I mean, The Last of Us won so many games." And I'm like, okay, you can't both be anti-Microsoft and anti-Sony at the same time. Like,
yeah, it's like one of you has to be wrong or you're both wrong.
Like, oh, you're both wrong. Yeah. And you're just like, okay, like if everything you say about my favorite isn't positive, that means you hate it. If you are not talking about like how amazing PlayStation Now is and you talk about how great Game Pass is, then you're biased. It's like, or if you talk about, like, you know, like how many great exclusives Sony has, but don't talk about how many great exclusives Microsoft has, you're biased. And it's like, you can, and I think this is always it's very noble to stand up for, well, it's actually not noble, it's stupid, but you can point out flaws in something you like. That does not mean it's awful. That does not mean that you hate it. It just means that it's not perfect. And I think, without hesitation, we can all point to things that all three major companies do super well and also super terribly. I mean, I guess a huge Nintendo fan. I mentioned how awful Kirby was in this podcast. Like, I'm not going to sit here and defend their online infrastructure. Because, I mean, it's the same thing that plays Smash Brothers Online. Sometimes that is a buggy mess. We've talked about time and time again how light Microsoft exclusives are for the past 3 or 4 years. We've talked about, like, I would even wager that Sony's exclusives, and like, I feel like neither one of these systems have launched yet, because they've had games, and then it's been a really quiet 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're getting Returnal this month, or some people will be getting Returnal, like, not a game I'm super interested in, but yeah, the next big game for Sony I'm excited for is Ratchet, and that's not till June.
Yes, and I don't even know the next big game for Microsoft. I think Microsoft gets the benefit of the doubt because Game Pass is so versatile in so many games. It's like even something like The Medium, which I wouldn't consider a big release, but it's a new title that you have access to if you have Game Pass.
Right. And like we got Outriders, you know, day one, getting MLB The Show. Like these aren't Microsoft games, but they are games that draw your eye to the Xbox platform. But yeah, in terms of what has Microsoft produced for them this year or last year, like what was the last game? Gears Tactics? Like,
and even that was a port of a game that was out earlier in the year. I'm actually trying to think, does Microsoft, oh, I guess The Medium is them, right? That they did publish that.
I think they published it, but they did not develop it though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What was the last major Microsoft developed title?
Gears Tactics and Flight
Simulator
on PC.
Okay.
And before that, it was Ori. I think what last year was brutal. Like they did not have a very, very strong year in terms of games. Like Ori was great, but they didn't have a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess the Series X is supposed to get Flight Sim this summer. But again, like you said, like Gears Tactics, a port of a game that's already out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, yeah, it is fascinating when you kind of laid out how wanted them. Like I was just thinking, I was thinking this when Death Loop, it's like hindsight being what it was, I understand with the pandemic and stuff, it probably would have been better to just shelve these systems and launch them in the fall of this year. Yep. But again, financially, it might not have been feasible for third parties. But yeah, it's like you could have stockpiled Gears Tactics and Ratchet and like, and again, you don't like, I mean, that's my personal feelings. You can't go wrong. Both of them are selling out every system they make. So right now it's working for them.
Yeah, I think one of the analysts that's always out there on Twitter said that, like, the not eBay, but I guess there's like a stock, like where they keep track of secondhand sales of the system. And, you know, PlayStation is consistently the pricing is still over market value. Disc systems are like $750, $800, and the discless ones are like $750. And the Series X is about $700, like average price range for secondhand sales. They are still selling out, and people are still selling them for above market value. So I guess maybe they made the right call. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, it's one of those things where it's like, from a business standpoint, they made the right call. But for instance, we all have Xboxes, some of you have PS5s. It's like, oh, it's a really fancy paperweight right now.
Yep. I have not turned my PS5 on in, I think it said 21 days.
God, I don't even know. My kids have turned it on to play the same game over again.
Bugsnax.
That's it. That's the beginning and the end.
Well, I mean, as long as they're paying something.
Right, yeah. I guess.
I mean, it's getting used.
Sure.
I mean, they're also playing your Switch with Monster Hunter Rise.
Right.
So basically what we're hearing, Tony, is your kids play your game systems.
They do. I don't play video games anymore, just my kids.
Yeah, it's going to be a light year, I feel. It's a shame, but maybe we'll hear more of what Microsoft has in store at E3.
Well, we probably will hear what they have in store, but it'll be the stuff we already know about. Look, they're coming out with Halo, guys.
I am also curious about that, because this came up again with Deathloop and other games. It's like, our company's going to be more and more protective of announcing release dates. Is it going to be more like you announce it 2 or 3 months out and not like, we hope to have this game out in Q1 of 2023?
There's no value in that, right? Like outside of awareness, I guess.
I mean, outside of platform holders, I don't think there's any value in announcing. I honestly don't think there's any value in announcing your game more than a few months out. Even then, that's a bit redundant. Like when Ubisoft and EA would announce, like, "Oh, we're working." Like EA had that, like, it was like 2 or 3 years ago. They had like that extreme sports mashup game at E3, and I don't think anything's come of it.
Oh, the one that Criterion was working on, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't think we've ever heard of that game again.
What is the point of announcing that? What is the point of showing that off that far out if, like, you don't have anything that's tied to it? I mean, I assume most people are probably like, what game is he talking about? And that's fair, because it's one of those titles that there are certain titles that might stick with you. You hear a title or they have the pedigree, so you're going to stick with them. Like Bethesda, when they announced like the new whatever it's called, and Starfighters. I forget that game. Like, people are going to follow that. They're going to be interested in that. But again, it's also one of those things where that was announced 2 years ago. Like, it's not out this year, so I don't get the point of announcing this 2, 3, 4 years out. When you don't have a proof of concept of what this game is going to be, you don't have a window when it's coming out, you're just announcing stuff to show, like, we're working on stuff. And I think it's a very odd attitude that we have in gaming. Like, movies do it too, to an extent, but movies are such a, I don't want to say manufactured, because there's, but, like, movies are, like, it's such a well-known quantity that most people know how long it takes to make a movie, how long it takes to edit, how long it takes to, like, even during COVID, like, most of the movies that said they were coming out were out. They got delayed due to theaters not being open, not because they weren't finished.
Right. Like, once you hear that a film has started filming, I mean, it has to be some catastrophic crap has to go on for it to not come out. especially if you have some name actors in it.
Yeah. And then sometimes the name, it's like the name actors take off and you hold it because like, they're going to get famous. And like that movie that came out recently with Cherry. There's a movie recently where like Tom Holland and like Emma Stone or something like that.
No, Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. Yes.
Yes. There we go. And that had been apparently sitting on shelves like 3 years.
It looks terrible.
I mean, the reviews seem mixed on that too. But it's like one of those movies that it's like, okay, now they have some star. And then the funny thing is, it makes like, because Tom Holland, because of, like Cherry and in this, it's like he's got like two movies back to back. And it's like, okay, is he great? It's like, like he's still gonna get that Marvel money, but yeah, like you hold on to it because people get famous and you can sell it because people are gonna be interested in what they're doing. That happens, but again, it's hard. I mean, I think the biggest example of that happening recently was New Mutants, which got pushed back time and time again. But yeah, but back to video games, it's like, yeah, like even with E3, like. If you're Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, like I think you want to showcase your end of the year lineup, but do you also kind of go into like promising what you're going to deliver in early 2022? If like we can't even get people who promise stuff for 2021 to guarantee that it's coming out in the time frame that they said it was coming out this year, because I mean, ultimately, even though like we're like I think one of the things that's going to be really confusing in the near to immediate future. Is the states are getting better with the vaccine rollouts, but most of the rest of the world is lagging way behind us. So, like, if you're Ubisoft, who has like Canadian companies and has companies in like Paris and Shanghai,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, that's still going to be a stop with stuff where people, like, I think France just went back into lockdown this week or the week before. So, like, you know, that stuff, it's like, okay, people are now going back to working from home or were they in the, and stuff like that. Or somebody pointed out, like, you're not like downloading and uploading dozens and dozens of gigs of data every day. Like, even if you are, that's going to slow down your process because you'd have to, like, to make sure everybody's working on the same build or everybody's at the same point that they need to be.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem practical, like, especially with large builds like that. Like, how are you doing that? Like,
magic. The magic, yeah. Of the internet.
I hope they don't have Jeff's internet.
Right.
And then, you know, there's stuff like Beyond Good and Evil, too.
let's not even talk about Beyond Good and Evil.
Ubisoft
doesn't, so why?
No, they just
Where's Jeff? He loves that game. That doesn't exist.
Throw a CG trailer out there every 3 years and go, it's coming.
We swear. We promise.
Yeah, and then the sad thing is, and I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there, it's like this game will be a decade in development. There will be people who are excited for it to come out. It will sell 5 copies.
Jeff will have bought 3 of them, so he'll bought the collector's edition, digital copy, and like one on like another system.
What he forgot that he pre-ordered.
Yes.
Because, yeah, it's one of those, like, I was reading up on, I was watching a video last week on, I forget one of those, Legends of Heroes, Trails in the Sky, or something like that. And how there was a lot of anticipation for like the first game to come out in the West and be localized, and they did all this work for it, and it came out and it didn't sell well. And I think sometimes, and it's very, very difficult to know when, there is a very vocal, always online contingency that's like, yes, we want this game. It's exclusive. We want to experience it. But does that translate to a broader interest in the product?
No. And I think like this has been proven time and time again, like online, yay, do it. Like, doesn't mean shit. Like, I remember, like, there was huge buzz about Snakes on a Plane.
Yes.
And like, oh my God, this is going to blow up. And then came out and it was like a wet fart. Like,
the example I always remember, like one of my first examples I remember is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, huge presence at Hall H, huge marketing, everybody of the comic books. This was going to be a massive comic book movie. And it comes out, and I think it did this in Hellboy. It has a cult following now, and I have Scott Pilgrim. I think it's a great movie. But for all the buzz that it got, all the great people were lining up to go check out a preview at Hall H in San Diego, it never translated to general interest.
Nope.
And we see it time and time again. And we see it on the flip side, where there's not an interest in the online spirits, and then something comes out, and it's this massive hit that takes people by surprise. The one I always think about is Big Bang Theory. It's derided by everybody online. As far as I can tell, nobody I know watches it or watched it. It was still the highest rated TV show of the past two decades. More than your Game of Thrones, more than your Walking Dead, more than your Breaking Bad is another good example of a show that had a huge online following and two people watched it on TV. I think by the end of its run, it had a decent audience. But yeah, it was a show that was not a huge rating.
It was pretty much Jeff just out there going, hey, y'all should watch Breaking Bad. And then people did when season 5 hit.
Or another example, and again, these aren't all necessarily video game related, is you look at Adam Sandler on Netflix. I assume most of us have given up on his movies, but they still remain some of Netflix's biggest audience getters, biggest views and stuff like that. And there's an audience for that. And you have to assume that there is an audience of people who just want something simple and basic, and it doesn't need to be prestige or over the top. And I think we see it. If gaming, sometimes I think you can mix bag, because the popular games get talked about as well. Call of Duty is talked about, Overwatch is talked about, but then you see stuff I don't see a ton of people talking about Ring Fit Adventures, for example. And that was one of the best-selling games of last year.
I didn't realize that it had done that well.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you look at some of those games that do super well that. Either we're not the audience for it. I think of Minecraft. I don't know if any of us play Minecraft. I know I don't. But that's one of those games that just continues to sell year after year. And it's an audience that's just very, I assume they'll be online soon. I assume they're in elementary and junior high school and stuff like that. I've mentioned before, I always hope when my nephew comes over. I mean, I hope my nephew, but I hope when he comes over, because they kill, Roblox.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some mobile game. I've never heard of it. And then he tells me about it, and you look it up, and it's this massive brand that does super well. I think, I kind of mentioned this again when we did the March Madness stuff with mobile games. Part of the reason I wanted to bring up mobile games is I feel like it's a huge avenue of gaming that just is not talked about among the always online crowd. When a mobile game fills up, or when it does well, it's not talked about in the same breath as I don't even know what an example would be.
Or it needs to be something like Pokemon Go, which is already something Pokemon's a huge brand that people talk about online. Like when that hit, yeah, sure. Oh yeah, this is amazing. But yeah, Candy Crush isn't exactly being talked about in the dark corners of the internet.
Yeah. Or even stuff I don't think they blew up, but Hitman Go and Tomb Raider, Lara Croft Go, really fun games. I thought they were, not necessarily the core of those games, but they were fun. But yeah, it's a lot of that stuff where it's just weird to disconnect sometimes between the people who are oh, this game is going to do amazing. Or I think the games that I always think about with that example are always the super high-end graphical ones, which are oh, this is amazing. It has the anti-aliasing, it has 4K, it has, ray tracing. And it comes out and nobody cares. They're going to go back to playing Fortnite or Minecraft, or they're going to pick up Animal Crossing and check out their village or something like that. But it's the one thing we know how to sell as a video game marketing department. It's better graphics means that people get more excited for that. Yeah.
But. Yeah. All right. Well, that's about it for us. I don't have anything else on the list here. I don't see anything here. You guys got anything else?
No.
Well then, we next week we will have some Zombie Army 4. I keep on calling it Nazi Zombie Army.
Is it? Well, isn't it? I thought it was Nazis.
It's so the first three were Nazi zombies. Or the first two were Nazi zombies, and then I think they changed it to Zombie Army, and this fourth one is Zombie Army 4. I still think you're fighting Nazi zombies. I don't know. They're German zombies. But it's the new Rebellion game, done on the Sniper Elite engine. So you know, kind of Left 4 Dead-ish in how you go through the missions, and it has those cool X-ray kills. So I think we're all going to try and play some of that as it hits Game Pass on tomorrow for us. I think we're going to get together and play some this week. So we should have that next week. Jeff beat Monster Hunter Rise, so we'll have some of that. And then whatever else we fit in. Maybe Tony will actually be able to play Outriders. So.
Probably not.
They did detail a patch expected soon. It does seem like it's going to fix a lot of this stuff. And I also think that part of their patch notes is that they are giving, I forget what they call it, but it's essentially like a launch window appreciation, which is like you'll get like a legendary weapon and skin based on your highest level character, just as a thank you and because we kind of screwed up the launch. So it's nice that they had a bit of tongue in cheek. They had some fun with it, but they are also admitting like, yeah, this launch is rough. It sucks. We're sorry, but we're going to try our best to get it fixed for you early next week.
And that's good. Like, I remember at the launch of last generation, when Battlefield 4, Tony?
Yes.
Yeah. It was basically unplayable for like the first 3 months.
Yeah. Of the Xbox. It was terrible. It came out on launch day. It was like the game that I bought to play on my new system and did not work.
Yeah. I don't think we got to play it until like January like of the next year. And it's, you know, online launches are crappy. It's not an excuse, but
yes, what I will accept is because like Anthem had issues too. It's like I said, fundamentally the game is fun, and that's it's like okay, I will hang out with your headaches for a few weeks because yes, you never know like the anticipation, you never really know how anything is until it's in a live environment, no matter how you test. But the core of the game is fun, and that's what's important. It's like I could see a good product here. Where I did not see that with Anthem or Avengers, which also had similar, but I don't think people cared as much because the game was bad. A problem set on.
Yeah, about half as many people were playing Avengers when it launched. So, I don't think that people cared quite as much about the Avengers launch.
Which is, again, saying so much. I will never get over the fact that you have the hottest property. And all of entertainment, and you squander it, like yeah, it's miraculous. Like I think somebody at Square deserves some type of promotion for that. Like that's just a boneheaded business decision. But
or beheading.
I mean, in the corporate world, he might become the CEO.
This is true. and I could see where. You know, somebody at Square going, crap, we had the largest franchise. It was a sure hit, and it didn't hit. Games as services, this online games are done. Like, we're not going to invest a ton into Outriders. And they skimped on the day one servers, which caused some problems. I could definitely see Square having a hand in this happening, but... Whatever, it looks like it'll clear up hopefully in the next week. Hopefully Tony will get the chance to play.
Dear God, please.
Earl could play some more, burn some more people with his pyromancer powers.
Yes. And the powers, especially in unison, is a really ton of fun to see. Like, my friend has, I don't know which cast it is, I think it's a Trickster, who has like the freeze dome. And he does that, and I just go up there and run and do the firewall to burn them all while he can't move much.
I like the one where it basically makes them into a thermal bomb.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, like you have to get them down to zero health, but when they do, they like kind of lift off the ground and expand outward and explode, and anybody in their radius dies.
Yeah, the problem is I need to get them closer together more often.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll have that, and maybe some Pac-Man 99. I'm going to download that as soon as we're done here, so we'll have that next week. Earl, say goodnight.
And farewell.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
I love it when you. Yeah.